Hope you all are blessed and fully favored in the Lord today. We're going to be in John chapter 6, and we actually have a two-part kind of sermon thing going on here today because we've got some pretty great information coming from the woods as they have come back from their missions trip down to Mexico / Texas, and they've got some pretty amazing things to share with us this morning. So lucky for you, I have a short sermon this morning, so yeah, there you go. That's what I'm talking about. Give me some encouragement because I'm watching the clock tick, and it's weird. We got to fix the clock, y'all. It's counting down from like 3 minutes. That's not going to work for me. All right, I'm going to need a little longer than 3 minutes. Do what? 3 minutes, okay. And Jesus did some things, and I'm done. This morning, I want to talk about nothing too big. You know, sometimes we dream small, and God dreams big. And you know, there's some vision in the pipeline right now. And I ask that you guys just pray for that. I know you guys don't know what it is yet, but it's big. And as I look at this and I say, Jesus, you know, there was nothing too big for him. We're going to talk about some missions and the things that they do down there, because I'm going to tell you, missions have big dreams. They have big vision. They have big, great things out there that they know God's got for them. Nothing's ever too big. Sometimes we get in our routine and things get small for us for God. We think, oh, you know, my troubles aren't so big. Oh, you know, God doesn't bother with himself for me. But I'm going to tell you, there's nothing too big for God if we're willing to step into the vision with him. And John chapter 6 really speaks to this. And I'm going to read down through John chapter 6. I'm going to go verse 1 through 13. I'm going to read through the story here of Jesus, and he's going to feed some people. And there's this amazingness. So this is a two-part sermon. I got the short this week. We got the longer one next week. There's two pieces to this sermon because we really need to see what's going on here. So oftentimes I think we lose it because of the sign, you know, the feeding of the 5,000. That's awesome, right? But we lose what's really going on underneath in God's provision. And that's the key we're going to talk about this morning, is his provision. And to kick it off, we're going to be in John chapter 6. We're going to begin in verse 1. So if you have your Bibles, you swing on over there to John chapter 6 and verse 1. If you don't have a paper Bible, that's okay. You can whip out your phone, get your Bible on your phone. If you don't have that, you can follow along with us on the board up here. If you're following along with us at home, we also have it there. We'll pop it up for you so you can see it at home as well. But it begins here in John chapter 6. Remember, we're coming out of the testimony of Jesus. He just finished schooling the Pharisees on who he was and who testified about him. So we know Jesus is true. And then, as if to kind of put an exclamation point on things, he leaves the area where he's at and he continues on. It says this in verse 1. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee. That is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up to a mountainside and he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. And when Jesus looked up and he saw the great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already knew what he had in mind and what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one here to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in this place, and they sat, and about 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. And when they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." And so they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Let's go to the Lord for some wisdom on this. Father, as we open your word, we want to be revealed to in your wisdom and in your mighty word the things that change our lives, the things that transform us, the things that make us more like you and less like the world. We want to look like you. We want to feed like you. We want to do amazing things in your name, and not for the purpose of looking at the self, but us focusing upwards toward you. We want people to be brought to the salvation that comes in Jesus Christ. We want them to be upward moving. That's why we want these mighty things to happen. That's why we want to be changed. It's because we want to be more like you and less like us. In Jesus' name, amen. In this great wisdom of what's going on here, Jesus is feeding the 5,000. And I love what he does here at the beginning. First of all, he asks the disciples questions, and we'll kind of get to that next week. But I love how he always tests his disciples. That's important. But we come to verse 10 here. Verse 10 is kind of the key for the people. And Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." And there was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. And Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. And he did the same with the fish. See, I love what Jesus does here. See, he cares enough about the 5,000. And he says, "Have them take a seat." And they didn't take a seat amongst the rocks. They didn't take a seat in the sand. Jesus picked out a spot. See, don't think that Jesus doesn't already know where he's got you going. See, he's already prepared the place for where you're going. Just like going on the missions trip down there. He already had that place prepared for where they were going. He had the grassy spot picked out. He had the best place. And he had the people sit down, and they got comfortable. Jesus does bless us in the comfortable. Because Christ has compassion upon the people. He truly cares. He truly wants them to be loved. He truly wants them to feel loved. You know, when folks come over to your house and you go to visit with them a little bit, what do? You let them stand in the doorway, right? Especially when it's hot outside and they look a little parched, they're sweating a little bit. Man, stinks for you as you're sipping on your nice cold water, right? No, you invite them in. You have them sit down. Can I get you a glass of something cold? You provide hospitality because you have compassion and love for them. You have them take a seat. Because if I'm going to share something with you, I want you to be comfortable. Our ministry ought to mimic this. In Ephesians 4:32, it says this: "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you." See, he wants to bring you into that comfort. He wants you to bring you into that place where you're safe, that place where you're ready to hear, that place where you're ready to be changed. And then the second thing he does is he gives thanks. He says, "Thank you." Gives thanks to the Father, says, "Appreciate you bringing the people here. Appreciate you putting us in this place. Appreciate the provision that you've given to us. Because remember, it's about the provider, not the stuff he provides." See, I've seen God multiply time and time and time again. When I thought there was never going to be enough, there's God at the end, like sewing some more on the end of the blanket, right? Not anything that I've done, but it's only the blessing of the Lord. And so he's pouring out because his provision pours out in abundance. But first they had enough. In John 6, verse 12. "And when they all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, 'Now gather the pieces left over and let nothing be wasted.'" I'm here to tell you today, ladies and gentlemen, God's provision is enough. Now, I know some of us are sitting out there thinking, "Well, I'm not a billionaire. I didn't say God would give you enough money so you think you were happy. I said God's provision is enough." Amen. Because I'm going to tell you, even if I've never been getting nothing else in my life, I have salvation. Amen. And that's enough. that's enough. It's always enough in what he provides. He's always seen me through my times with enough. He proves it again with the woman at the well and with the lame man. He says, my provision is enough, and it will carry you through, and it will sustain you. See, because again, he's using what is physical to point to where? Come on. To God, to the spiritual, right? He's taking the physical and he's manifesting the spiritual. Now look, y'all, it ain't been that long since last week. Y'all like, I ain't answering nothing. He's bringing us to the spiritual. See, but it's not just about that. What happens then is God's provision, not only does it sustain, but it's in abundance. Because the disciples go out and they gather up what's left over. Folks, I'm here to tell you, this is God's provision to the church. He pours out, we are sustained, and then guess what we have? We have abundance. Now, what do we do with the abundance? We throw it out, right? We share it. Whew, thank you. I'm glad you're out there today. Appreciate you. The crowd's kind of quiet this morning. We share it. We don't just go out there and take extra money and burn it, do we? No, we provide things like going on a missions trip. And we send them out and we give them provision to go. See, they had 12 extra baskets of stuff. They had so much in abundance they could pour out. Folks, that's what we do with the abundance. We pour back out. I always like to tell you guys, look, the church ain't a savings bank. All right? We're not the Bank of America. All right, we're not trying to stuff as much money in our pockets as we can get till we feel comfortable. Then in all of that money, maybe we'll give a little bit out. We are here to pour out in the abundance because I'm time and time again, I've poured out and God pours back in. If you don't believe me, go look how many cookies are in the back here. All right, we keep giving you cookies and cookies keep showing up. We gave cookies to the fire department. We had tons. And we're like, man, we got to get some cookies to the fire department. We need to go bless the fire department. We go over there, bless the fire department. Guess what? The same day, here comes Jody with another big old tray of cookies in here and sends them down. I was like, I just gave those away. Because God pours back in. He says, test me in that and see if in my provision, if you don't keep pouring out, I don't keep pouring back in. Obviously, we got to have good stewardship. We're not going to waste. But I want you guys to remember this in this vision that we have that's coming. I believe the Lord has really set upon us that we're going to have to pour out, but God's going to pour back in. God's going to pour back in. But someone has to do the work. And a couple weeks ago, it was the Woods family. The Wood family, they went down and they did the work. They were hands and feet in God down in Mexico, and they went with a big group of folks from some other congregations. And they gave given provision and they went. John 6, verse 13. So they gathered them and they filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. See, they had to go gather it up. They had to work. It's been that way since the beginning. God has called us to work. Genesis 2 and verse 15. And the Lord took man and he put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. God has always called us to the work since the beginning. And it was the same with the disciples. They were going out and they had to pick up the overflow. See, they had to receive the blessing. And then they sent the people away with food. We got to do the work. It's not going to come just by sitting in here. This is a great place to be on a Sunday morning. But folks, Monday to Saturday, there's work to be done. There's a world that's in Mexico and Texas. There's a world that's in Rossville. There's a world that's in Silver Lake. There's a world that's in St. Mary's, Maple Hill. There's a world around here of people who need your hands and feet to be the hands and feet of God. To go out and be the missionaries that God has called you to be. For he made us a priesthood to spread the word of God, and not with timidity, but with power. With authority, so that people will look to them and they will know who God is. but we got to be the hands and feet. With that being said, I wanted to let Shauna come up here, and maybe Nate, I don't know which one's coming, both coming. I don't see Cookie Monster, so we may not have a Cookie Monster, but anyway. They wanted to share with us from the missions trip. I want to invite them up here because, guys, I want to really start generating this excitement. We're going to go again next year. I've already planned it. I've got my spring break locked out this time, Nate. Nothing. You just guys need to pray that everything goes well and I don't have to have any emergencies come up. But guys, we want to generate some excitement. We want to see some people go and be the hands and feet of Christ. And I'm really giving this long introduction. I'm really hoping they kind of come on up now at this point. And I'm running out of words to say. But I want to generate excitement for them. And guys, I'm going to give it over to them. They did some great things down in Texas and Mexico this couple weeks ago.
Went down to Mexico, and the way we found out about this trip, Nate has gone now 3 years, I've gone 2 years. When we were going to the Silver Lake Church, we were looking for international missions, and this just came about. And so the person who runs it is from Emporia, so there's a big group of Emporia, a bunch of students from Emporia University, but then there's folks that come from Council Grove and Abilene and Rossville and Silver Lake. And so it's really just a great picture of seeing believers just come together and we become family for a week because we live and eat and work together. It's amazing. So next. So we journey all the way down to Los Fresnos, Texas, which is the most southernmost part of Texas as you can get. And it's about a 14-hour drive if you don't stop. So we usually make it in one day. And so the picture on the left is a picture of the facilities down there in Los Fresnos. Two gentlemen named Mark and Chacho started this many years ago, and so they have some nice acreage down there that they have built. There's a church. There are two dormitories. There's a dining hall. And then there's a big shop that we built last year. That you can't see any of that in those pictures. But anyways, that's the gist of it. Anything you want to add?
You're doing great.
Okay. So this is our group that went. We had about 85 volunteers from all over the Kansas area come. And our verse that we focused on was...
Oh, I got that. Oh. Yeah. Okay. 1 Corinthians 9, 24, 25 says, "Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. Man. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever." So the theme of the trip was we did a VBS in Mexico, kind of a VBS for the Mexican kids. It was down in the soup kitchen area, and I don't know if we have to pick. Anyway, I'll just talk. So, anyway, we went down there, and we did 3 days of Olympic-themed things. So we did basketball and then art, and then there was taekwondo. We didn't teach the kids to fight each other, but just the disciplines of taekwondo. And
soccer.
And so, anyway, it was a good time.
Okay. So, next slide. So, every morning we started with devotions, and that it puts you in the right place of mind every morning. And so, various people from within our group would give devotions, and I pictured this gal. Her name's Mary. She's 92 years old. She's done this mission trip for 18 years. And she said that this was going to be her last trip, but we don't believe her. And so then part of our crew volunteers up to be the worship team. And so it's just an amazing start every morning to have worship together. Go ahead. And so we had several projects. The main push was the Olympic sports theme, but there was also lots of stuff we did right there in Texas. So this blue building is what we built last year. And so the building on the outside was built, and the inside was all just one big open frame, and they have used it as storage. Well, they have realized that they need shelves. So we hauled everything out. And it was amazing because it's like you first go in there and it's so overwhelming because you're like, they have a lot of stuff. But you have 85 people there. And so it was like I literally felt like an ant. And we just you just file in line and everybody, it many hands made the work light. And so we got all the stuff out.
I felt like an uncle.
Nice. So, and so then that, hey, you did get the new pictures.
Look at that.
Okay, maybe I had that one from last night. I was still making changes to this morning. So they cleaned out, and we had a construction crew, and so they built shelves, and then as you can see on the right, that was the last day the shelves were completed, all the electrical wiring was completed, and all the stuff was brought back into the shop. And then the next picture. Then behind, part of that shop is going to become a future youth room. And so they started doing drywalling and mudding. That is not my expertise. And the shelving, this is interesting. The Council Grove group brought down a whole trailer full of pig slats, if I'm saying that right. They previously...
it was the flooring from a pig barn.
Thank you.
So,
and
so
they had sold, they're out of their pig business, and so our shelves were built out of these pig floor things. So they all had to be, they were previously cleaned once, but they needed to be cleaned again. So the kids made it a game of how many squares can you stack in a wheelbarrow to take over to the power washer, and it was a lot of fun. So as you know, I mean, this mission trip is all the way from the youngest was a 3-year-old and the oldest was a 92-year-old. And so very, very family-friendly trip. There's jobs for anybody. We also did a little bit of fixing the roof. I never found out why we were fixing the roof, but...
It was broken.
So... Anyway, so they were carefully taking off part of the roof and then putting it back on. And so we had great weather while we were there. The first couple days was kind of chilly, but then the rest of the week it was dry and sunny and warm, and so great weather for outdoor work. And we were in shorts or capris most of the time, so it was nice.
I don't own capris. I was in shorts. So thank you. I just want to put that out there.
Go ahead. And, of course, when you have a crew of 85 people, they need to eat somewhere. And so most of our meals are done right there on site. Nate was kind enough. He headed up the kitchen. And I, unfortunately, don't have any pictures of him in the kitchen. But every day there would be a different crew that would work with him. And so we would, it was a normal standard household kitchen that you're pumping out 90 meals. And one of the days, on Wednesday, they do, it's like a Meals on Wheels outreach. And so we made 250 meals that day out of a small kitchen.
This is my buddy Ryan. He's a really good paper towel holder.
And so that's just a little bit more of our kitchen. We made anything we did, simple hot dogs. We did fajita, or we did, I can't remember what was that meal.
Philly cheesesteaks.
Philly cheesesteaks.
We eat good, so you'll want to come next year. So
we made homemade cookies. Judah, I think, is licking the batter. So it's all good. It was a lot of fun. So we do a lot of, when the food is ready, then it's a lot of it is sitting in roasters, keeping it warm, because it takes time. So every morning when the construction guys were working on that blue building, a lot of, and some people were in the kitchen, other people were making preparations for Mexico. So we had shirts for all the boys and girls. They were getting sorted out. They had crafts. There was lots of prep work to go into getting ready to go over to Mexico because we sleep and we eat on the Texas side. And so another thing we needed to do is we had With our Olympics, we had all these teams that we had prearranged. And so each team made up a flag, so that way the kids would know which team that they were on. And so then when we got to Mexico, the kids wore their color shirt and we carried around the flag. And that's kind of how they knew what group they were part of. And, oh, thank you. Yes. So this is the Meals on Wheels food giveaway that when we made 250 meals. The really cool thing about this is it's all on just on the Texas side. And so we put it all in the to-go boxes and then send them out in the vans and pray for the people and give them their food. And if they have other needs, we get those requests and get them taken care of soon.
One of the cool things, my buddy Ryan that was the paper towel holder, he lives in Silver Lake, and this was his second trip that he's went with us. And last year, I mean, he was not a believer when he went, and afterwards, I mean, you could just see the change in him and see how he came to know Jesus. And so it's been a progression. I mean, he's not coming to church yet, but one of the things we do, so we do the devotions in the morning, but then we had breakfast. So if you were, half the group went to breakfast and half the group went to reflection groups. And so in those reflection groups, they put you on, most of the people you don't know in your reflection group, and you just become a small family. And so anyway, they ask questions about, you know, what's going on, what are you experiencing, and it's a really cool time to share. And one of the things Ryan had shared was that he was not ready to pray in front of anybody. And then he went out and helped deliver meals, and he took the meal up to the porch, and the lady said, "Will you pray for me?" And he was like, So anyway, he came back, and he's like, "Well, I prayed for somebody." So anyway, he got a chance to be able to pray. So it's just cool to see the progression, just the little things that happen. So
we took 9 vehicles back and forth the border every day. And so there is a lot of time hanging out with your peeps in the van. And some people kind of stuck to the same van every day, and other people moved around. But it's, you make it fun, because otherwise it's really boring. And so Judah got to know this friend Danielle really well. She's his new bestie. And the college kids are, you know, they're crazy, like Ariel knows. but it was such a joy just to have everybody be able to go. And even me, I was like, we have 85 people to get over the border back and forth every day. This is going to take a long time, but it really went pretty well. It went very efficient, so.
Next.
So on Monday, we went over, we graciously were given permission to use a city park. And the city park, you'll see some of the background pictures, like the picture on the right. The area of the town we were in was very, very, very needy. And this park was amazingly nice. I couldn't believe how nice it was. It had a big, huge, full-size soccer field. And then it had 2 basketball courts. One was covered. One was not. They did have restroom facilities. In Mexico, it's very common to not have the water on. So, like, they flushed all the toilets one time at the end of the day, and that's it. It's just their water situation.
We're doing that at home now, so we're saving water.
Saving water. But we had to go the first day and clean it up because it was kind of trashed. And so just got it picked up, put on new basketball hoops just to make preparations for all the kiddos that would be coming. We did have about 250 kids from kindergarten through 18-year-olds come, in addition to about 50 preschoolers. So there was a large amount of kiddos from Mexico that came. And so this is a couple just group pictures to kind of show you that big covered basketball area. You know, because we're so far south, going down there in spring break is amazing because, like, the weather's like 70s and 80s. But I'm sure, especially in the summer, that covered basketball area is such a blessing to neighborhood kids to be able to come over and play ball. So at this point, we've already got the kids. They've got their shirts. So, you know, we have orange, green, yellow, and red teams. And they're all divided into age. And so I was a coach for 10 and 12-year-olds. And Nate coached
13, 14, and 15-year-olds. And I don't know why they have basketball goals in this place, because Mexican kids don't play basketball. They don't know what basketball is, I don't think. So it was, anyway, we taught them basketball, and it was pretty fun. All they want to do is play soccer. So anyway, it was fun to help them try to learn. And, you know, we had refs. Creed was a ref, but you didn't really call for traveling because they kind of travel a lot. And, you know, I tried to teach them to shoot, and then, you know, and they don't speak English, and so you're trying, like, I've learned that passe means pass the ball, and it didn't work. Maybe that doesn't mean pass the ball because they didn't pass it very well. But anyway.
So some of the folks who come with us are bilingual, and so they would be our interpreters. Others, like in my situation, I had a mother with my group, there was another local kid that helped me off and on. We rely heavily on our interpreters because my Spanish is un poco, which means I only know a little. So I can say a few things and that's it. So, but the language barrier, I mean, God works around it, and you still can learn how to have fun and smile. Hugging and smile is, you know, international language. And the Mexican girls in my group even managed to teach me the Mexican version of rock, paper, scissors. It was pretty cool. So when we would start the Olympics, we did a drama that didn't require any speaking, and Sarah was in this along with a lot of other friends, and so they did a little drama skit every day before we split out. And then the preschool team, like I said, there was about 50 kiddos, and they did. I was honestly kind of bummed that I didn't get put on. I requested the preschool team, and I got put on 10 and 12-year-olds. And at first I'm like, I am so out of my league. I'm like, I like the little ones. But I'm like, okay, evidently God did this on purpose. And he did, because it really, I love being with the older kids. But so I didn't get any pictures of the preschool, but they made little crafts and they played games and stuff like that and sang songs. So one of the rotations that we all did was taekwondo. And this gentleman, his name was Brad. He was bilingual and he did an amazing job leading taekwondo. And the kids loved it. And so like Nate said, we didn't teach them to fight each other. We just learned more so just warm-up drills. But they really enjoyed it. They got into it.
Brad's nickname was Snorbert. He was in my dorm, and he didn't have his CPAP on the first night, and most of us didn't get to sleep very well. So,
The sleeping in dorms is... My first morning of devotions, it said what? But one of the questions was, what is your goal for the week? And I said, to get a better night's sleep every night, because I slept terrible. It's hard. You know, when you're used to sleeping in a bedroom just with your husband, and then you're in a dorm with 15 other people, it's just challenging. I don't want to say that to, like, scare y'all away, because God provides all the sleep that we need, and every night I did get a better night's sleep. So another activity we did was track and field. We did, like, running. We did a beanbag throw. We did a long jump. And we did frisbee throwing. But I didn't get any other pictures. Sorry. Like Nate said, we taught them to play basketball. And so it was, you know, a pretty casual version of basketball. But they had fun. They really enjoyed it. So. And then something really that I enjoyed, we did mural painting, and so we had these big, huge sheets of paper on the floor, and we encouraged the kids to focus on our theme verse. And they could work together, or they could work independently, and so, and they were judged. Now, all of these events, they were points being kept, because there was going to be a winner at the end of the day, at the end of the three-day progress. And the kids, I mean, it was like, it really motivated them that they gotta do good. So these murals were, I don't know, whatever. I'm sure they got kept and hung somewhere, but after they were dried, I don't know what happened to them. So there's some more mural painting. It was really interesting with the help of interpreters when asking the kids, what are you drawing and what does that mean to you? And a lot of these kids are churched, but a lot of them were not. And so it was just really neat to see how their artistic side could come out along with sports competitions. Another item we did was mind games. And so they were different for each age group. So these are only for my age group. But we did the marshmallow building challenge that maybe you guys have done before with spaghetti noodles and marshmallows. And my team got second. We got 21 inches tall. This yellow team won. They had 22 inches. But they played memory. They played it was a game using magnetiles that they had to create a particular shape. Magnetiles are like geometric shape blocks that are magnetic, and so they were given a template, and they had to recreate that.
So one of the things we realized afterwards is that we in America, we do these kind of things, but over there, these kids don't eat. And so, like, when we opened the marshmallows, they all wanted to eat the marshmallows. And so maybe next time we don't use food. Like, there was a mom that came around and was collecting the spaghetti and putting it in her bag to take home. And I'm sure she was going to eat it. So, anyway, you just don't think about those things all the time.
So. Yeah, even with it being right on the floor. So, which, you know, it can still be cooked and used. And so... So soccer, like Nate said, is their favorite game. It's football over there. And they get very competitive with it. In fact, like to the point where I learned that the kids, like if you would barely touch him, they would like faint and pass out. Because I guess in the real game of soccer, if you knock somebody over, that's a foul or something. And so we had to keep telling the kids, stand up, stand up. Because they kept wanting to make the other... get points from the other team. So this is that picture on the left kind of shows again a little bit more of the background of the area. So it was mostly a residential area, but there was like some kind of a little shop. The soup kitchen is like one or two blocks down, but these, so like the neighborhood we're in, when you first get into Mexico, you're on nice paved highway type roads, and then we're getting further and further into Matamoros.
It's kind of like driving to Oklahoma, how the roads kind of get bad at worse and worse.
But, like, they got to the point where it's just dirt roads. And there's no gravel down there. And I don't think they have road graders because I think it's a game to hit as many potholes as you can because they have them all over the road. And so I learned, like, it was on day three, I was the last one to get in one of the vans, and of course the last seat is all the way in the back. And I did that one time, and then I convinced one of my high school friends, I'm like, how much do I need to pay you to sit in the back? Because it's like very bumpy. But, you know, just so very, very poor area of town we were in. So this was I didn't have very many team pictures, but of course I had team pictures of my own team. So these are my kiddos that I got to hang out with. And then I had another friend named Harry over in Silver Lake that helped me. And so he's Harrison, but he went by Harry for the week. And so he has over in Silver Lake, the church we came from, every year we plant sweet corn as a fundraiser to help be able to take care of mission trips like this. And Harry and another one of his friends, Blake, would come over almost every day and help pick and sell corn, even though they don't go to church. And so Randy Smith, the pastor over there, said, dude, you guys have to come on this mission trip. You guys worked really hard. And so they got a lot out of this trip. And, I know that God planted seeds in their lives. And so Gigantes is the Spanish word for giants. So we were Team Giants, but Team Gigantes. So that's Nate's team in the green, and another team in the yellow. And in addition to the Olympics, there was a women's ministry, and so a lot of the moms stayed and hung out, and they did like tie-dye decorating one day. They did a craft one day. They did journal devotions one day. Just a really encouraging time to let the moms still be close to their kids, but to give them a break and to give them encouragement and prayer time to be with other women. So on the third day, and I forgot to say, so all three of these days we did a devotion for the Spanish kids. And on the third day, Mr. Randy Smith and then the gentleman with his arm up, that's Chacho. He's one of the men that started United in Christ. Obviously, he's bilingual. And so he was Randy's interpreter for the gospel. And so the kids are all gathered around, A, listening to the gospel presentation, but B, anxiously waiting for their awards. And so everybody was super excited that they found out whether they came in first or fourth place, they won. And they got medals. And I guarantee you all those kids still have their medals and they're hung proudly because they may not have much, but they're really proud of what they get. And so it was very exciting just to see their faces light up when they got a medal around their arm or around their neck. So the superhero of the day was Taco Libre. And I'll let you explain this, Nate.
So we went to a restaurant on, so Thursday was the final day. So Wednesday went to this restaurant, and my buddy Ryan, and that's him in this suit, he went to this restaurant, and we actually walked over to Chick-fil-A. But anyway, at the restaurant, it's called Taco Libre. And so it kind of goes off of Nacho Libre, the wrestler. And so they had this suit made, and so Ryan saw the head sitting there in the restaurant, and the guy was, he's like, can I try it on? So he tried on it, and he had the whole suit put on. It actually has a bigger head than that underneath the mat. I guess you can see the big head over in this picture. And so, anyway, the next day we were doing our award assembly, and we thought, we need that costume. And so we called the guy, the owner, and Ryan had talked to the owner, and he said that he was a Christian, and that his restaurant was kind of a Christian restaurant. And so anyway, we called the guy, and this is probably like a $1,000 suit. And we called him and said, hey, we're going to Mexico and doing this thing. Can we borrow this suit? And the guy was like, sure, come get it. So we went and got this suit. And then as the kids, we had all the over the, so a lot of the church members came, all the people in the back there in the blue shirts, the Mexican looking people. Anyway, they belong to churches there that came and helped with our outreach. And so we wanted to bring them up and recognize them. And so one of the things I was announcing, and so I said, we have a special guest. And so we all started chanting Taco. Actually, I started chanting Taco Luce, and they all, and then finally it got to, and then the guy was like, it's Libre. And so then we're chanting Taco Libre, Taco Libre, and like the whole place, and then he comes running out, and it was pretty awesome. It was great, grown men taking their pictures with him, and it was
really cool.
It was pretty funny. So.
And I didn't get a video, but so after the awards, we did a bike and ball. All the balls we used, we raffled off. And there's a ministry called Handlebars of Hope that partners with United in Christ. And so it's a gentleman who owns a bike shop in Emporia. He gets all these crappy bikes and takes them down.
Say crap.
Sorry. Do you want me to find another word?
Okay, no, it's okay. All go
out.
Ahead. Okay.
All out.
Okay.
Bleep. Yeah. So we had to pass out raffle tickets to all these kids so everybody would get a fair shot at it. And so it was Taco Libre in a very dramatic way was drawing out the raffles, and I should have got a video of it because it was, he played into the part so well. It was just, it really made it fun, and Nate's the MC, and so he's like the, you know, their numbers, and so he's like, cinco, uno, seis, nueve, and I mean, like, Nate's a different person. Well, he's crazy here, but he really gets crazy down there. So these were just two of the winners, that got some bikes and all the balls.
Anyway, they do take the crappy bikes, and he's
sorry, I didn't finish the story. He fixes them.
He has a partnership with, he found a guy that owns a bike shop in Mexico, and so anyway, he takes bikes down there, and this guy fixes them up, and then he takes some, and he gives him some of the bikes and he takes some of the bikes. And that guy's whole family has come to Christ. And so it's a really cool story about what they're doing with this Handlebars of Hope. So next slide.
And so it was really neat on that last day just to see how everybody had come together. And we had Sharpies from our name tags, and people, without even being prompted, just start, you know, sign my shirt. And, you know, the kids would come up and just hold a pin up and just, you know, do this. So we spent quite a while signing shirts and, you know, just the kids being able to bring it all in. I don't even have words for it. I mean, it was just so awesome. So one of the highlights for me was after the Olympics, we went down to the Love Home Orphanage that is fully supported by the United in Christ facilities. They have 24 kiddos that live there, and it gets even farther. Like, we drove another hour south to get to this orphanage, and the roads there were even worse than they were at the park. I was really impressed. It was a secure facility, was walled all the way around. They had a gate at the street entrance, and they've created nice dorms for the kids to live in. They eat there. They have their education happen right there. And so the picture on the bottom right shows there were only a handful of kids there that day. I don't know where they all were. But then there's also a handful of adults that work and live there with them to be their providers and educators. And so it was just a really humbling experience to see. I mean, there's just so many children down there that there's no foster system in Mexico. So if you're on the street, you're on the street. And one of my friends from Silver Lake, his name is Dennis, he was talking with another adult. On the last day, there was this little boy, he was probably a three or four-year-old boy, walked in all by himself, and he was holding a bag of empty chips, and he walked right up to Dennis and crinkled his bag of chips. And so Dennis, who was sitting next to somebody who was bilingual, said, "We're going to have snack here soon for the boy." And he asked him, he said, where's his family? And the person said, "Oh, he's a neighborhood kid. And Dennis said, "Well, what's that mean?" And he said, "Well, his mom died and his dad left, and we don't know where brothers and sisters are." And so just like, I mean, it just broke my heart, because I'm like, nobody knows where this kid's living, and he's younger than my son. So another thing they did, the college kids one night stayed after the Olympics got over, and they at nighttime did a college event outreach. We all came back to Texas, so I don't, other than pictures, I don't have anything to explain what happened. But obviously they led music and prayer and had a good time. Of course we had downtime, and so the kids played basketball, just sat around and visited. On the Texas side, just really jailed. We're just really hung out. And like I said, after you spend a week with these people, you just really get, they're your family for the week. We're going to try some interesting Mexican food. Big platter of food up in the top right was a Mexican restaurant that we were treated to on the last day. And so it was kind of like a fajita type thing, but it had cactus in it. So it was pretty good. So.
No spines, though, just the green part.
Okay.
Yeah, of the cactus.
Yeah. And so to just finish out the thing, I had some other extra pictures, just how friendships are really just created over the week. Sarah enjoyed all her girl time since she stuck with all boys at home. That picture on the left is like the dorms where us girls were living for the week. And the picture on the right is the outside of the dorm. So that dorm is what, when Nate went down his first year, that was the main construction building project. So. A few more pictures. That trampoline was in the orphanage. Those kiddos just loved being able to have access to a trampoline. So, if you want to, we'd love to have you come with us next year for spring break. It should be, I don't have the dates right in front of me, but you really should prayerfully think about coming. It's very cost effective. You give up your week of spring break, and yes, it's tiring, and yes, it's a long way down there, but it's life changing, and I wouldn't have spent my spring break any other way. So, it was good. Any questions?
Brandon's like, we ain't got time.
Yeah,
for
Brandon's
questions.
Like, you went way over.
No. That's not what I'm saying. I'll come up here to just say thank you guys for what you do. I want to thank you for that ministry. We do have a ministry local, but we also have an obligation to ministries everywhere. And to be able to tie into an international ministry that's not something we're just throwing money at, but that we're actually participating in, means a ton. And so I wanted to thank you guys for taking the time to not only bring it to our attention, but we were able to support them in that with some of your financial giving from this last year. We actually used it to support them to go down, to help support them to go down. We paid for all the fuel costs to go down and back. And folks, we had a scholarship for that for anybody that wanted to go. The church was going to pay half the cost for you to go. And I'm going to go ahead and say that now and step out on faith, and we're going to do the same thing next year. I think God's going to bless us enough we can take that step of faith that we will pay half the cost for people to go. Nate and those guys, they always got connections for the young people to help out in certain areas to maybe help pay for some of that cost as well. So if you're one of our youth people and you want to go, I don't want to speak for Ariel, but I think she's going to boss them and say they have to go next year. At least I would, but, you know, I'm different. But, you know, my family's going to go next year. We've already made plans. We're already set that as next spring break is going to be to go on this trip with you guys next year. We wanted to go this year. Obviously, we had some things happen that anchored me here. But awesome opportunity. I want to say thank you guys for what you guys do. So, thanks, brother. And I'll go ahead and get the worship team. Come on up. We're going to go ahead and I want to offer an invitation time because maybe you are sitting out there today. Maybe you heard something from the sermon that said, hey, look, you know, Jesus Christ is provision. Jesus Christ is the way to salvation. I want to be the hands and feet of God. I want to be able to reach out and touch lives because, you know, we can do that. I mean, people can go out and touch lives and they don't know Jesus, but what's the end game of what they're doing? It's temporary and it means nothing. Thank you. If that's all we ever do is we're just reaching out to be kind, it means nothing. But when we can reach out and it's about the eternity of Jesus Christ, it's about salvation in Him, it's about the salvation that comes through Him, then we are doing something truly that means something. And the only way we can do that is to know Him. And so I offer this invitation that if you're out there today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you need to proclaim Him as Lord, if you just need to ask questions about Him, we'll be available to you. I'm going to have Brian at the front. I got Rex at the back. Or if you just need prayer on you to reinvigorate that love and that passion in your heart to become the hands and feet. We want to offer that opportunity to you to answer the Spirit's call this morning. Whatever it is He's laying on you, listen. The worst thing we can do is hear the voice of God and ignore it. The best thing we can ever do is hear it and respond and come to Him as we're going to stand and sing.